You're listening to a European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Race to Dubai show as the world number 792, by the way, wins the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship at St Andrews.
To win here is immense. You know, I've dreamed of it for years. I always wanted to win here. Been close before, but it's so special. Yeah, it means the world.
We'll personally congratulate Oliver Wilson on his first ever European Tour victory shortly, and he had to do it the hard way, holding off the world number one, Rory McIlroy, by one shot.
You know, I made a double bogey at the first, and that wasn't the start that I wanted to get off to, and then putted into the bunker on 17. Everything in between that was pretty good.
McIlroy finished tied second with Tommy Fleetwood and Richie Ramsey. You'll hear from them all on the show, along with some other star sportsmen who were in action on the links courses this weekend.
They're all terrific courses for different reasons.
We have a couple of games on the Tuesday and Wednesday, which is always, you know, basically the bragging rights for the pub for the week.
It's without a shadow of a doubt the highlight of the golfing calendar, for especially the amateurs, and there's such a great atmosphere.
So a full review of the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship coming right up, plus we'll look ahead to this week's event, the Portugal Masters, with the help of South African Justin Walters. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, how are you?
Good morning. Well, it must be a very good morning for Ollie Wilson.
Slightly. I couldn't believe what happened yesterday. I reckon what happened yesterday was probably the most amazing victory since the European Tour started back in 1972.
I'll pretty well go along with that. Yeah, I mean, out incredible. In the boondocks, struggling on the Challenge Tour, hardly breaking par, and then, well, he started his week with, what was it, 64 round Carnoustie,
which tied the course record. Obviously, it was a tournament invite. I mean, he couldn't get in any other way. So, you know, Johan Rupert must have been extremely pleased with that. What is he? He's ranked 792. He was 252nd on the Race to Dubai. 102nd on the Challenge Tour.
You've done some homework, haven't you?
I was commentating on it, Robert.
Well, your powers of recall.
Powers of memory. Write it down, you remember it.
That's terrific, that.
And, you know, his best finish had been 40th in the Nelson Mandela Championship.
I mean, the odds would say, the bookies would say, realistically, you would say, it's impossible for him to win that event.
Yeah.
Impossible.
And I didn't think it was going to happen because he bogeyed the fourth hole. I think it was the fourth. Yes, he three-putted the fourth, three-putted the fifth for a par. The par five, yep. Only two par fives on that course, and then parred right the way out to the turn. And every man and his dog was making birdies on that front night. You got one is a birdie, two and three are birdie chances, four isn't, even though some were making birdies on it, but five certainly is a birdie eagle chance. And then you got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, what a loop that is where people start making birdies.
But he started with a nice cush, a little cushion over the
shot lead.
Yeah, and then once he started to get swallowed up, you'd have said, well, he's gone now, he's toast.
When he went three putt, yeah. I thought, oh, that's, you know, he'll do well to finish in the top five.
Tommy Fleetwood's played well recently. You know, Richie Ramsey's been very consistent. You're thinking one of these guys is going to win because they have the form. Ollie has no form.
And, you know, you've got McIlroy starts, dumps it in the water at the first, at Swilcombe Burn, double bogeys that, and then birdies the next four holes. So, you know, he's two under through five, which is pretty much what you'd be looking to score anyway, and that was with a double bogey. So, you know, he's breathing down your neck as well. Ramsey, I thought, was going to go on and win it.
Yeah.
But he bogeyed 16 and 17, so that was a poor finish for Richie Ramsey. I know they're difficult, 16, 17 and 18. He was one ahead. In fact, he was two ahead.
Richie Ramsey.
Yeah, he was two ahead at one point. Disappointing finish for him, but, you know, massive credit to Oliver Wilson, and from out of completely and utterly nowhere, nine times second, never won on the tour. And he got in the Ryder Cup in 2008 without a win.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty impressive. So, you know, his whole life has now changed, Robert, as ours has.
Ours has as well, and is made richer by the performance of Oliver Wilson last week in St Andrews. And just to be right on the money, he's with us on the line right now. Ollie, how are you feeling? I hope there's a headache, a large one.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I've felt better. It's been a long night, not a lot of sleep, and some champagne and chocolate went down nicely.
Why did you play so well this week? Where did it come from? Because to us, from the outside, not seeing what you do every single week, it seems like you've produced a performance out of absolutely thin air.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at my results, I think I'd shot one score under par in the last, I don't know how many events, four, five, six events, something like that. So I can understand from the outside looking in, you know, it's completely out of thin air. And even from my point of view, it kind of is. But I've been working on a few different things. Overall, my game's been actually okay. But, you know, the last couple of weeks, I put a new driver in the bag from Callaway, which has made a massive difference. And then the work I've done on my swing has made a massive difference. You know, I was still nervous. I was still edgy over a lot of shots, but my swing was able to cope with it. I was able to put swings on it under pressure and hit the shots I needed to. And to be honest, you know, my mental game probably wasn't that much much different to what it's been through the summer. But the difference was that my swing could hold up under the pressure, and I've always felt like I can handle the pressure. I know what to do. My short game and everything else is good enough, but, you know, you've just got to have the environment to produce it, really.
Ollie, I was commentating on it yesterday, obviously up there at St Andrews. Do you reckon, I was looking at it and thinking to myself, the reason you were hanging on there and did manage to win was because you've had 9 seconds, you have played in the Ryder Cup. I mean, I think if anybody else had been in your situation, let's say on the Challenge Tour, without your record, I don't think they'd have been able to pull that off.
Yeah, I think as bad as the last few years have been, it's taught me a lot, and I feel a much more rounded, better, stronger player for it, much more in touch with reality, I guess. And, you know, so I was nervous on the back nine. When I made those two birdies, it kind of turned my whole day around, you know, suddenly to hole a putt after a terrible putting performance on the front nine. You know, it's amazing. One putt, one birdie, and the whole outlook changes, and suddenly I'm back in the hunt. And, you know, the conditions probably favoured me because it was playing so hard on the back nine into the wind, and I was hitting it good, so I knew that I could just kind of hang in there. I didn't have to do anything special if I just hung in there and maybe pick up one. You know, it wasn't really until the end, until it was legitimately about winning, till probably 17, it was about, well, let's just get my card, because that's the only thing that really mattered this week. And as it got closer and closer to the end and counted the holes down, I felt like it was going to happen, and then I was able to really concentrate on trying to win the tournament.
Were you keeping an eye on what Tommy was doing and what Rory was doing as you were playing through the back nine?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we waited on most tees, I think, so I knew what Rory was doing, and obviously we was playing with Tommy, so I knew what he was doing. He was playing great and holing everything, so, you know, I knew it was going to be tough, but like I said, I just had to hang in there. I think that's where my experience came in, and just to grind it out over every shot. I knew I couldn't afford to drop any more shots because I knew it was pretty bunched up there. So if I dropped any, you know, my whole week was ruined, really, because everything that was dangling in front of me, all the upsides, would have been just gone with a bogey or two. So it was important not to do that. And then when I hit that shot into 16 and managed to hold the putt, you know, that was enormous.
That was a great shot on the 16th, I have to say. Now, you know, even on that little short plane trip, you know, stories get thrown out of proportion on the way home last night, Ollie. I want you to tell me whether this is true or not. One, did you stand on the 18th tee and say to your caddy, have I got a chance of winning this? And two, is it true that your wife came up to you on the 10th, who wasn't really supposed to be there, and shouted at you, come on, Ollie, you can still do this, and you never even acknowledged her? True or false, please?
True on both accounts.
Is that right? You stood on the 18th and didn't know you need a three would have been good enough, or a
no,
four?
No, because my mindset was get through 17. You know, everyone knows St Andrews, you've got to get through 17. I was trying to man up on the tee and just hit the fairway, you know, sort of the time that you've got to man up and hit the shot you need to hit. And a 10-minute wait on that tee was not good for me, and we got the massive leaderboard in front of me, and I could see the names, but I wasn't really paying attention to the scores. So I knew kind of the order, and I was in the hunt. And I just bottled it a little bit and gave it a little bit of right hand at the bottom and just hit it down the left. And I've been in that position quite a few times over that side, funny enough. So I kind of knew that I had to keep it up the right. I didn't have a 3-iron. 2-iron off a downslope was too much. 4-iron wasn't enough. So I just, you know, opted for the 4-iron. And I hit that pitch. It was a great pitch. And I thought it was stone dead. And then I walked up there and saw 3 foot left on it. And I was like, oh, no, 3 foot left or right. But, you know, managed to hold that. When that went in, it was, right, let's figure it out. And so I just pulled John to one side on 18T and said, right, what's the situation? Because, you know, obviously you can play the 18th a few different ways. And I didn't really want a 30-yard pitch off of that sideline for that flag. So I figured leave myself a full lobber in and kind of take the nerves out of it and just hit some full shots. So it worked out nicely in the end.
So just explain to us, Ollie, after what is 4 days golf, how your world has changed this morning.
Well, I'm now flying to Portugal tomorrow, playing the Portuguese Masters. And then I'm playing in the four biggest tournaments that are on in the world in 3 weeks' time. So
it's all slightly changed, isn't it? You must think to yourself, please, the alarm clock's not going to go off in a minute, hopefully. It must be one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, last night it certainly hadn't settled in. I mean, I've been up pretty much most of the night, so it's started to settle in. And like I said earlier, I think, you know, I knew I was capable of a good week. Whether I really thought I was capable of winning from where I've been the last couple of years, you know, it's hard to win anyway. You know, I couldn't ever win when I was top 50 in the world and playing my best golf. So why I would think I could win from playing my worst golf, I don't know. But, you know, you've got that inner belief. And like I said, as the week went on, I grew in confidence and managed to get over the line. So it's just incredible. And the next 6 months are radically different to what I thought it would have been. So a week ago, I was just mentally preparing for Q School. Now I'm trying to relax and get some energy back for the the final stretch of the season.
Thank you for joining us, Ollie, and just really look forward to and enjoy these next few weeks on the European Tour.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm very excited.
Well, great to speak to Ollie. You can just hear in his voice how much pressure has been lifted from him.
Yes, it's sort of scrub out whatever's in the diary now and it's rearranged, isn't it? Repack and rearrange.
The nicest one of all, though. Yeah. Now he can rearrange things and just enjoy every line he's putting in the diary. BMW Asian, HSBC Shanghai, Turkey, Race to Dubai, the finale. Yeah. Just an amazing turnaround for a genuinely nice guy. Amazing, amazing win. It's his first European Tour win ever in 228 goes. He's finished second 9 times before this win. He moves to over €6 million in European Tour official career earnings. His new ranking in the world is 156, down from 792, so that's a jump of, what, over 600 spots? Now 39th in the Race to Dubai, so he's going to play all those big events that we talked about, and he gains a European Tour exemption until the end of 2016, plus a place in 2 WGC events, Richard. Lots of lovely baubles there for him.
Yeah, oh, no, there are. I mean, as I said, you know, the one thing he'll enjoy crossing out of his diary, you know, is the qualifying score.
Of course.
Which is a huge, huge thing.
Now let's hear from some of the others who came close in the final day at St Andrews, starting with Tommy Fleetwood, who tied second after missing that putt on the 18th green.
To have a putt on the last, get into a playoff was an amazing feat for the way I swung it on the last few holes. But all in all, fantastic weekend. I'll take it. Again, I was just that little bit short, which is always disappointing, but I think you have to put into perspective that you just came second in another huge event. So, you know, from where I was starting Saturday morning, an amazing finish, and I think I held my fair share of putts along the last 2 days. So that one on the last, it wasn't a very good putt, and that's just what happens. But fair play to Ollie, he was fantastic, and he hit some great shots coming in. I mean, the birdie on 16 and then the up and down on 17, they deserve to win any tournament. So, like I say, great story. He's a lovely guy, and I think everybody will be glad to see him back.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right. Wasn't quite the Sunday he wanted. Finished second, and of course Everton lost to Manchester United as well.
Which is also another upsetting thing.
So what did you make of his week? 62 in the third round really got him into it.
He said it wasn't his week. I mean, he finished tied second. He's won €279,000.
I know you're looking at it fiscally. It's not a bad week, but he's a young guy now who's getting himself in position enough times to want to start winning a bit more.
If I remember rightly from my notes, I think he's had 6 top 10 finishes this year. So that would be his 7th top 10, which is pretty impressive, I think. I know he's finished second twice. He finished second in Wales, and I think he finished second in the Volvo China Open as well. But he's well inside the top 30, top 25 even on the Race to Dubai. Just the one win with the, was it the Johnny Walker, wasn't it, he won? But other than that, he's a
good
fine
player.
Man. Oh, he's going to win plenty of tournaments.
He's got a good attitude, and a good attitude gets you a long, long way. And that putt, Richard, has fooled a lot of people over the years, the one that Tommy had to make the playoff.
It's one of those putts you can't seem to make yourself hit it far enough left. It's one of those ones, and it does dive very quickly across the front of the hole at the end. But listen, it was a good week for him, he can't moan.
No, it was a very good week. Well, also tied second with him was the world number one Rory McIlroy, who played with his father, Gerry, on his 55th birthday.
Overall, a good week. I'm looking forward to a few weeks off now, a little bit of a rest, giving myself a chance to win the tournament. It was something that was good as well, especially after the start. You know, shooting one over Ryan Carnoustie and then playing the next 3 rounds at 17 under par is something that was a pretty good effort. So, you know, again, it's nice to be able to play with him around here today on his birthday, and today that we'll remember for a long time.
Probably oversimplifies it, but just a couple of holes that didn't go your way today.
Yeah, that was it. You know, I made a double bogey at the first, and that wasn't the start that I wanted to get off to, and then put it into the bunker on 17. Everything in between that was pretty good.
Rory is always a great interview, and thanks to Nick Dyer for putting the questions to the world number one. An amazing week in many ways for Rory, because he must have been shattered after that Ryder Cup.
I think anybody who shot around about par on the first day, you know, it was a fine performance. Gallagher shot 68 the first day, which was impressive.
It really was. Now, also tied second was Richie Ramsey. He threatened to make it a Scottish victory at St Andrews, but slipped up in the final 3 holes.
Just bogeyed 16, 17. I mean, I played 17 really well. I had a great putt, and it just horseshoed out on the left. And that's the difference between winning and coming second. Sometimes it's a matter of inches, but you can't sort of dwell on that. I've got to look at the fact that it was a really good week, finishing second here, plenty of world rank points, lots of Race to Dubai money, which will push me up that board, and hopefully that makes me look pretty good for the final 3. And I fancy my chances, you know, in one of these next 4 or 5 weeks where I can hopefully pick one off.
You might be able to, Richard.
When he says the final 3, he means those 3 events before the Dubai World Tour Championships.
Well, he's not going to get in the HSBC Champions event because you have to be a champion, don't
right,
you?
Right, of course, exactly. Now I've got. I was going to say, because he's 63rd on the Race to Dubai, so he's comfortably into that now.
That's a different criteria for the HSBC Champions.
HSBC
isn't there?
Is winners only.
But it goes BMW HSBC, doesn't it?
BMW HSBC, it does go, Robert. I'm going to the BMW.
So he's going to play, a minimum, he's going to play three of the final four. So what he's saying is quite right. Maybe he can win one of those and finish the year on a real high. But well done, Richie Ramsey. Other high finishes, fifth place for Chris Doak was really good. Tied sixth, Richard Sterney, who's got his card on the PGA Tour. Tied eighth, Brooks Koepka and Chris Wood. Other Ryder Cuppers that played well. Gallagher finished tied 32nd. De Buisson missed the cut one under. Keimer missed the cut on plus one. Harrington tied for 18th on 10 under. And Captain Paul McGinney tied 42nd on 7 under par, which, considering the golf he's played over the last 7-8 months or so, is very, very good indeed. Now, tips from last week. We had an all-star panel up at Gleneagles. Gregory Havre went for De Buisson and Els, missed cut on 32nd. Paul Eales went for Rory McIlroy, who tied 2nd. Really stuck his neck out, Paul Eales there, didn't he, going for the world number one. Matt Adams went for Paul Casey, 51st, and Gregory Havre, who finished 42nd. And Richard Coffin went for Paul Casey, 51st. So the winner is Paul Eales. Now, of course, it wasn't just the pros in action at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Plenty of famous faces got the opportunity to play in the Pro-Am team tournament. Alan Hansen, Michael Vaughan, and first up, Sir Ian Botham. He told us what they love about taking part in it.
They're all terrific courses for different reasons. Carnoustie is one of the finest links courses anywhere in the world, but equally, it's one of the toughest. King's Barnes, you think it's been there 300 years instead of 10 years, which is an achievement to the designers of the course. And then, of course, you come to St Andrews and, well, the history, you know, the home of golf. Fantastic. Great honour to be here.
We have a couple of games on the Tuesday and Wednesday, which is always, you know, basically the bragging rights for the pub for the week. We try and wear decent kit because you might as well look the part. Now and again we play a decent shot, but we have a few wagers every day to see. I'm trying to look at the scoreboard. Now, I'm very fortunate that both of them on the board is actually not Ian, it's his son Liam, and I've not had a bet with him, so I've had a bet with his dad, and I don't think he's anywhere near that leaderboard, which is quite pleasing.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's without a shadow of a doubt the highlight of the golfing calendar for all the people that come and play in it, especially the amateurs. And there's such a great atmosphere. And to play the three courses and the way it's done and the competitive nature of what you're doing, it's absolutely fantastic. And to play the old course in a day like this where the sun is shining, even though it was very difficult in the back nine, but it's just a pleasure to play here.
Well, it's obvious how the big names in show business and sport really enjoy playing with the professionals on three great golf courses. It's just got a little magical spot of its own in the Ryder Cup menu, the menu of fare that we have for the whole year. I think it's a great event, Rich.
It is. They get very well looked after by Dunhill. And I must just say that Peter Lorre, when he two-putted the ninth for a par, he's not had the best of seasons, Peter Lorre, 173rd on the race to Dubai. It doesn't count on the race to Dubai, but he managed to pick up just over £30,500 for the first team in the prize there. That was worth getting up and going for, let me tell you.
Yeah, quite right, Richard. And he won it with Kieran McManus, who is JP McManus's son, famous horse trainer and entrepreneur. So great week for Peter Lorre and Kieran McManus. Now, can we have the top 10 on the leaderboard in the 2014 Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, please, Richard?
Tied 9th and 10th with Brooks Koepka and Chris Wood. Koepka did well in the team event, finished 2nd as well. Richard Sterney, Louis Oosterhuizen and Shane Lowry came next in a tied 6th. Chris Doak was 5th. Very good. And then tied 2nd, Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy, Richie Ramsey, and the winner, finally, after 9 times 2nd, Oliver Wilson.
What about the race to the bystandings?
Well, in 10th, you've got Joost Luiten. Gallagher is 9th. 8th is Victor Dubuisson. Justin Rose is 7th. 6th is Keimer. 5th is Stenson. Thomas Bjorn is 4th. Jamie Donaldson's 3rd. 2nd is Sergio Garcia. And Rory McIlroy, funny enough, still number 1.
Oliver Wilson up to 39th in the race to Dubai. And in the world rankings, he's the big mover. He goes up 636 places from 792 to 156. Now, in other news, US Ryder Cup captain Tom Watson said he has taken full responsibility for any mistakes made in their defeat at Gleneagles. Watson said, "I regret my words may have made the players feel I didn't appreciate their commitment and dedication." Meanwhile, former captain Paul Azinger has not ruled out leading the United States in 2016. If I was a betting man, of which I am, I'd be prepared to put a few bits of hard-earned coin on Azinger being the next captain. McIlroy has been voted the PGA Tour Player of the Year for a second time after winning two majors in 2014 and leading the money list. Rory set a tour record of 12 top 10 finishes and did not finish outside the top 25 in his 17 starts. That is what you call consistency. Phil Golding claimed his second European Tour senior title at the rain-delayed French Riviera Masters in Provence. And Ricardo Gouveia stormed to his maiden European Challenge Tour title in just his 7th appearance as the young Portuguese defeated Germany's Florian Fritsch in the 3rd hole of a playoff to win the EMC Golf Challenge Open. Well done to Ricardo. Speaking of matters Portuguese, next week it's the Portugal Masters at the Oceanico Victoria Golf Club at Vilamoura, which is a special place for Justin Walters. The South African's emotional second place finish there last year came courtesy of a 40-foot putt at the last, a shot which also saved his tour card, and all that just 2 weeks after the death of his mother.
I've managed to see a couple of replays during the year through, you know, when I won the Graduate of the Year award. Obviously, they put on a big video about it, and it really stirred a lot of emotions. I'm looking forward to some sunshine and warmth, that's for sure, too. But, yeah, it's just a course that I really like the look of from the get-go, and I've always loved Portugal. I want to go and create some new memories, do something special again, so I look forward to that.
Well, that has some really good memories for Justin Walters, and in his own words, I hope it creates some more this time around at the Portugal Masters. It's a good golf course, Richard. It's a long hitters golf course.
It is.
They love it.
Listen, most ones are long hitters nowadays, but they are with the new equipment, all long hitters. Good finish of the course, 16, 17, 18. 17 is that par 5. You get your driver away, you can knock it on in two over that water.
Oh, yes.
And then 18 is a very tough par 4. There is a bailout area of rough down the right-hand side, but it depends on a decent lie because you then got the shot up the green with the water that sneaks in around the front of the green, or sort of left half of the green, and then round the side of it as well. You can get some really good pin positions on that left-hand side.
You surely can. Who's playing?
I'll tell you who's in the field. Darren Clark's playing. Francesco Molinari, Manicero's playing. Alvaro Quiros, finally finding a bit of form. He's playing. Mark Warren, Ross Fisher, Pablo Larrazábal, obviously defending champion David Lynn is playing as well. Need I go on any further, Robert? Danny Willett, whose birthday last Friday, 27 years of age now. Paul McGinley, Ryder Cup captain. Jacqueline, who played well last week, he's in there. Olazábal, who's, I'm sure, Robert, just playing now, just to ease his way onto the seniors tour, isn't he?
Oh, I
48. Is he 48? Yeah, 48 now.
Well, he's trying to find a bit of form, is what he's trying to do first of all. Ollie.
You see, Monty didn't find any form and then goes out and wins four of his first five, or was it five out of five?
It wasn't five out of five, but
he won four of them.
It was pretty impressive, wasn't it? So, yeah. With all that knowledge, Richard, that you have gleaned over the years and you have perused the runners and riders, who is your tip?
My tip, Robert, is going to be a man that I feel should have won more tournaments in his life, but I feel the time is just about right now. Mm-hmm. Francesco Molinari.
Interesting. You're going, Francesco. I'm going to counter that with Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, not bad.
Yes. You didn't read him out. You didn't spot him.
About...
He's there. I'm going to go for Tommy, who narrowly missed out last week. And, you know, with his good play over the last couple of months or so, he's due. So I think I'm going to go for Tommy. Now, just before we go, let's get the inside story on that now. Infamous post Ryder Cup photo of Rory McIlroy in a pink wig, a kilt, and not much else.
Honestly, I don't remember. the timeline sort of gets a bit fuzzy about midnight. I sort of slipped out of the European team room around 10 o'clock to go join my parents and my friends in the bar. And I got a text from Keegan Bradley at about 10:30, just inviting me to the US team room. I went to the US team room and there was two like security guys on the door. I said, you know, I'm here to see the guys who have invited me in. And the guy said, oh, I'm not sure they're letting anyone in at the minute. He said, let me go in and check. So he went in, and I'm standing here at the US team room, like, on my own for about 5 minutes, sort of just going, what's, like, it just felt so strange. He came out and said, no, they're not letting anyone in yet. Yeah, he said, Patrick Reed said, I was like, Patrick Reed. So I went, fine, went back to the European team room, and as I got back to the European team room, a couple of the US guys were in there, so they'd obviously planned it and whatever, and had a good laugh about it. And then we all piled into the US team room and had a good time with everyone, and, you know, it was a great way to cap off what was obviously a great week.
Great fun being a Ryder Cup player, isn't it? Even if you lose, at the end of the day, you sort of hold your hands up and say, you were better than us, and you just have a great party. Oh, what's wrong with that, Rich?
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, unfortunately, we never experienced that, Robert. No. Parties, we did.
Yes.
Ryder Cup, we didn't.
No. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we'll be looking back at the Portugal Masters and previewing the Volvo World Match Play Tournament at the London Club. So make sure you join us for that. But for now, from Richard Boxall over there, myself, Robert Lee. Richard?
Bye.
It's goodbye.